Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 2 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. If you're enjoying this podcast and would like to grow in your understanding of God's Word even more, let me encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Series in print, available at Amazon.com. For easy links to the books, go to 10weekbible.com. That's the number 10weekbible.com. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, speak to us. We want to know you. We want to encounter you in your word. We want to feel your presence. We want to have confidence that you're there with us. Would you give us confidence that we love you like you love us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I want to pause right there. I find this really fascinating because, and I don't know exactly how to wrap my head around all of this, but when you look at the account in Genesis, when you look right before where God called Abraham, it's very obvious that God called Terah his father before him. He called Terah to leave the land of the Chaldeans of Ur and go to this promised land, and Terah gets up and he leaves. But he stopped in a place that's called Haran. Upon further investigation, we find out that Haran was the name of one of Terah's sons who had died in Ur in Babylon. And so what happened was in Ur, it ended up being halfway across the Fertile Crescent in southern Turkey. And so Terah got up and left Babylon, but stopped halfway to the promised land and kind of gave up. And just established himself there because of grief or many other things. There's all sorts of very interesting extra-biblical stories about Terah that may not be true. But if some of them are true, then you might understand why you would be grief-stricken or so many other things, conscience-laden. And so he stops. He doesn't inherit the promise that God is drawing him into. But God calls again his son, Abraham. And Abraham is the one that enters into that promise. And then, because of his offspring, Isaac and Jacob, they become heirs with him of the same promise. So these are the patriarchs in the Old Testament, and so does every single person after him. And now because of Jesus, we also get to be co-heirs in that promise. Because Jesus, unlike Isaac and Jacob, Jesus was the seed, as Paul says. He was the singular seed that God had promised to Abraham, and we become co-heirs with him because we have been offered to be grafted into that family, grafted into that promise. Even though as a Gentile myself, I'm a wild olive branch, I still get to be grafted in. And I find it amazing here because our author is talking about how they lived in tents. They didn't even have he never built a house. Abraham never built himself a house. And neither did Isaac or Jacob. They lived in tents. Now, they were probably nice tents, big tents. I'm sure they weren't like a little pup tent you go and buy at Walmart. I'm sure it was a nice tent. It was at least as comfortable as a tent could be. They were wealthy, in fact, but they never settled down, which is very interesting. Abraham had fabulous wealth. So did Isaac and Jacob. They had fabulous wealth, and they never built themselves a house, not anything permanent. And our author here says because they were looking forward to the city with the foundations will be eternal, whose architect and builder is God. They saw something. When you go back and you read Genesis, And if you haven't gone through our Genesis study on the podcast, I encourage you maybe after this one, go back and listen to that, because it's really powerful when you go through and you read Genesis once a week for 10 weeks. And I pray that you're reading Hebrews once a week for 10 weeks. But if you go back and you read that once a week for 10 weeks, you start to get a glimpse that they saw more than maybe what we're used to thinking they saw. And our author here is alluding to that. They were looking forward to this city, and they knew it was going to be there, but it was just sometime in the future. Verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. What I find amazing here is that, Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed, and so the offspring was named Isaac because, well, Abraham and Sarah laughed. Actually, the boy was named Isaac because Abraham laughed first, but Sarah laughed as well. When both of them heard it, they laughed. But just because they laughed, and just because they were chastised and rebuked a little bit by the angel who told them this, didn't mean that they didn't have faith. And this is what I think is powerful, because the author includes this passage. He includes Sarah as being a woman of faith, that she believed that God was going to make good on this promise. And when we look back at their story, it doesn't really look like faith. It's hard to eke a little bit of faith out of that. And I think this could be liberating for so many of us that look at the TV preachers and think, well, that man's got faith because he's got a nice suit and a Learjet and all this other nonsense. Sarah was old, like ridiculously old when she had Isaac, and she struggled. She struggled with that faith. That faith between Sarah and Abraham was not perfect. They did not have this ethereal faith that's an intangible and you can't see it and it's so big and awesome that whatever they believe is going to come to them, they're going to get. That's not the kind of faith they had. They had weak faith and they struggled with it, but they never lost sight of the promise. Even when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, she's saying, let the promise come through this woman. Let the promise come through Ishmael. They never let go of the promise. They wavered in how the Lord was going to make it happen. They wondered. They thought maybe it's on us for a little bit. They wavered like anybody would. This should bring us great confidence. Faith is not something that is only for the super spiritual. It's for every one of us who would believe and act. And even when our actions fail, even when we're weak, even when we falter, we can always get back up and say yes. Go read that story. I'm so thankful that our author included Sarah in this. Because when we look at Abraham, there's lots of things where we're like, well, I guess it was faith. Yeah, he was a man of faith. But when you look at Sarah, we don't have enough stories about her to recover from the encounter where she laughed when the angel told her she'd have a child. And yet she is considered faithful. And so can you and I. We can be considered faithful too. And because of these people's faith, and not to be crass, but at their age, part of their faith was in a certain activity that brought forth descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. To them, what the Lord asked of them was only that they participate in an activity. Let the reader understand. That brought forth descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Many of us, we think that faith is something so intangible that we can't get there. In Revelation, Jesus says to some of the churches, he said, listen, I know how hard it is where you are. And all I ask for you to be called faithful is to just hang on. Just hang on. What the Lord calls faith and what people trying to make money off of you on TV call faith are two very different things. Verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. These people had eyes for eternity. I pray that you and I will have our eyes, our hearts, our minds so squarely set on eternity that we're of every earthly good. That's the common phrase, isn't it? For those of you that heard it. Oh, their heads so in it, so set on eternity, they're of no earthly good. Nothing could be further from the truth. If your eyes are fixed on eternity, you are of the greatest earthly good. These people who had their eyes fixed solely on eternity, we have an inheritance in eternity because of them. We have the ability to be free from our sins forever because through them came our salvation. Verse 14, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We have got our eyes fixed on eternity, I pray, like they did. They were living in tents. They were believing God for these promises that they knew could not be fulfilled in their lifetime. They could not have descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They knew that it was way beyond their lifetime, way beyond their generation. When Joseph spoke to his brothers in Egypt, and he said, listen, we're going to be here for in Egypt for a while, but when you leave, when our children, when our descendants leave, make sure you take my bones with you. Joseph knew of this promise in the book of Genesis. He knew that they were going to be leaving and going to this promised land. And he knew that it was going to be so long after he died that there would be no flesh left on his bones. He said, take my bones with you. He wasn't asking for a funeral in Israel. He said, take my bones. In the 400 years later, it was actually less than 400 years, but all these years later, make sure you remember me and take my bones. These are people who believe in a promise that comes after their years. This is not about getting more stuff. And God really likes stuff. Read the book of Revelation. Look at the stuff that he's going to fill the eternal city Jerusalem with. He likes stuff. Don't accuse God of not liking stuff or prosperity. He's really into that. But what he's really into more than anything else is convincing us to put our eyes on eternity. Because when we see that, the stuff in this life, yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't hold a candle to what's coming. It doesn't hold a candle to what we're being offered. When we're given temptations in this life, saying no to them is made so much easier when we've seen a glimpse into our future. We've been offered so much. If we'll only have faith that it's real. Then we have faith by taking one step after another toward our eternal destiny. I pray that these passages in this chapter are liberating for you. It's not something intangible, something so far away and out of reach that you can't have. It's something that God offers to us. It's within reach. And it's tangible. It's not something you can't understand, that you need a seminary degree or a television ministry or to be a missionary to lay hold of. It's for every one of us, for you and me. We can have this faith. We can have our eyes set on eternity. We can live for another age because it's who we were made to be. Our home is not on this earth. Our home is with God. Wherever he is, our home is with him. And I pray for you and for me that that becomes so concrete a reality for us that it changes every aspect of how we live now in this life. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.